WMFO Medford.
The greatest story ever told. Present He That Loseth His Life, a drama based upon a teaching set forth in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, a teaching from the greatest life ever lived. In the northern part of the province of Galilee, there is one man whose name you are bound to hear most often, Amos of Gishala. For his wealth is great, and his influence upon the people of that area is even greater. When Amos prospers, everyone prospers. And in a season when his crops are small, there is hardship in the town. But this is no day to talk of hard times. For today there is feasting and celebration on the great estate of Amos. There's laughter and music and great joy everywhere, except perhaps in the heart of Amos himself, as now he stands watching the festivities. And though there is a smile on his lips, one can see by looking closely that his eyes are not smiling.
Sir, Amos, it is almost time to serve the meat.
Then serve it.
I thought, sir, that you would care to make your announcement first.
The announcement?
This great feast and all to make the announcement, and yet you have forgotten?
I have not forgotten. Find my son. I will tell these people the reason for this feast.
Yes, sir, I will find him at once. He is here.
Good. Well, Jonathan, we have a hostly duty to perform now.
Do we, Father?
Surely you did not think that I have given this great feast without purpose.
Of course not.
What did you say?
I was only agreeing with you, Father. Whenever you do anything, it is for some purpose.
Then perhaps this time you will approve of my purpose when you hear it. Samuel.
Yes, sir?
Quiet our guests. I wish them to hear this.
Yes, sir.
My friends, guests of my master, please, a moment of quiet, for he wishes to speak to you. Please, quiet.
Thank you, Samuel. My friends, first I bid you welcome here. I ask you to eat and drink your fill, because in that way perhaps you can share this great day with me. And it is a great day, for the reason I will tell you now. Jonathan, come forward. Here. Stand beside me.
Yes, Father.
Today, my friends, my son becomes more than my son. He becomes a partner in all my lands and estates. Yes? Yes, it is true. From this day forward, his word is as important as mine. His command of equal weight. His agreement to anything as much a legal bargain as if I had given my own word. Yes, today he becomes more than my son. Well, Jonathan, have you nothing to say?
Please, Father, don't make me.
I insist that you do.
All right. But remember, you insisted. My friends, this and perhaps, but not for me. For before being made a partner of the great Amos, I would have preferred first to really be his son.
Jonathan.
Excuse me, Father, but you insisted.
My friends, the news must have been too much for him. Truly, he did not know what he was saying.
Let it not diminish your pleasure. Eat, drink, sing. It is my wish that you be happy today. Musicians, come, let us hear some happy tunes.
Sir, there is no reason to remain out here. It is growing dark.
They all left so early, even before half the food was consumed. Look, Horlocks are untouched and turning cold. That boy, he drove them away with his foolish
word. Please, sir, do not talk about it.
Has there ever been a boy who has been given more? What I did for him today, is that something to be insulted for in front of all the townspeople?
Please, sir.
Is a little love and respect too much to ask?
Sir, not now. We are not alone.
They are all gone. In fact, the emptiness of this place can be very oppressive.
Sir, there is someone there, standing a little way off.
Hmm? Oh, I see. Do you know the lad?
He is not of this part of Galilee.
Well, no matter. From the look of him, he is a beggar. We have food to give away. Give him all he wants.
Yes, sir. A lad... You need not stand off that way. Come closer. And if it is food that you want, you may help yourself.
Thank you, sir. I will not take much. Only enough for two people.
There is enough for 200. Take all you can carry.
Thank you, sir. Now, let me see.
You are a very particular beggar. What's wrong with this piece of meat?
It is not tender enough, sir.
Indeed. You are very difficult to please, aren't you?
Sir, it is not myself I'm concerned with.
Who else can it be? Who are you talking about?
He is resting by the side of the road. He is old and very tired. And if it is possible to spare him a few steps, it is a blessing.
This old man, he is your father?
No, sir. And about the tender portions of meat, it is difficult for him to chew, though he does not like to admit it.
I see.
But do not think that I will take a great deal of meat or waste any of it. The hard, crusty part I eat myself.
So that he may have the tender portion, eh?
Yes, sir.
And all this you do for a stranger?
Well, he is not a stranger.
Yet not a relation, either.
No, sir. I like to think of him as my friend. Now, if it is agreeable to you, sir, may I select a piece of the meat for him?
Of course. Go on, young man. Take whatever you wish. And you need not limit yourself to merely one piece.
And here, Jude, the greatest surprise of all. Look, meat, freshly roasted.
Some kind man has been giving a feast, Aaron?
Yes, sir. And obviously he prepared for a great many more people than actually came there. For there was much food left over, a great deal.
Well, then it is our good fortune. We must thank God for his goodness and then eat. For you are hungry, I can see it in your eyes.
At least this time there is enough. And this piece of meat, notice how tender it looks.
Very tender. And because it is, I wish you to have it this time.
Oh, no, sir. I like the crusty part. You know that.
Well, then, Aaron, I ask you to make this sacrifice for my sake. You take the tender part this time.
Please, Jude.
My friends.
Oh, what?
Forgive me for intruding, but after the lad left my place, it struck me suddenly that he took nothing with him to drink.
It is very kind of you to be so solicitous, my friend.
I have brought this pitcher thinking you might like to draw some cool water from the well.
Thank you very much.
Aaron, why not go and fetch the water now, eh, lad?
Oh, yes, Jude. I will be back quickly.
He is a fine young boy, your friend.
Oh, yes, I am very fond of him.
And he is fond of you, too. I can tell you that.
You know him?
No, but I saw him select this piece of meat you are preparing to eat. I tell you, it was difficult to please him.
Yes, I know. He worries about me a great deal. And now, my friend, you wish to speak to me about something?
What? Well, no.
You can tell you're a troubled man, and there was also this.
A man intent on seeing that we had cool water to drink would not have brought an empty pitcher.
To be very truthful about whom the boy spoke so lovingly, for whom he chose food so carefully, I wanted to see what kind of man you are.
What you are saying to yourself, then, is this man is old and poor. He has not even enough to eat and is clothed in only a simple, coarse garment. What can he give this boy?
I didn't say that.
But you thought it. Am I right?
Yes, Jude, you are right. The boy is devoted to you. I tell you, not many fathers receive as much love and sacrifice from their own son.
Oh, I see.
I might as well admit it.
I am very sorry for you, my friend.
I cannot understand it. I have given him everything that it is possible to give, yet he does not love me, and yet you... I'm sorry.
And yet I, who seem to have nothing to give, receive so much love and consideration from Aaron. You were going to ask that.
Yes, I'm desperate to know why that is.
My friend, I am on the way in a journey which will take me back to the one I hold most highly in all this world. Perhaps you have heard of him. Most people call him merely the Master. They do not yet understand fully his mission on this earth.
The Master? Yes, I have heard stories, rumors. Surely it cannot be true what they say about him.
And if I were to give you my word that it is true?
That he has healed even the blind and the lame and the leper?
True. All of it.
And you think he can help me?
Perhaps if you and your son were to accompany Aaron and me.
If you think he can help me, I will do better than that. I will arrange at once for a caravan to take us there. We will go more swiftly that way.
This time, perhaps there is something to be said for going slowly.
You mean you want us to walk the hot, dusty road?
Yes.
My way is quicker and more comfortable.
My way is slower, perhaps, but might prove to be better. Will you come?
If my son agrees, yes. The moment I've been looking forward to for days now.
Yes, yes, my friend, and I trust that you meet it with an open mind and an open heart.
I am sure that I am ready. It is my son that I am worried about.
Why do you say that?
Because during the entire journey, he has not spoken kindly to me. He has not changed in any way.
I had hoped that he would. But perhaps we should not blame the boy altogether.
Then am I to blame? What have I done wrong?
We shall find out now. For I see that the Master has taken his place up there on the mount. He is going to teach us now.
So this is your Master?
You do not approve of him?
There is something disturbing about him.
Others find him reassuring.
And now as he looks out upon us and smiles, I think I find his face too gentle.
And yet others find strength in him. Listen to him, my friend.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
A sound teaching, Jude, one I approve of and live by.
Do you, Amos?
I have never made the gathering of wealth the most important thing in my life. I have given away a great deal to charity. I have even offered to share everything with my son.
And yet he did not accept it.
There must be a reason.
I am waiting to hear your master teach more. For I know if my son hears this, surely he will understand me better.
We shall listen.
He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
He that taketh not his cross.
If it puzzles you, my friend, it is because you do not know what will happen to our Lord, but we, his chosen disciples, do. His sacrifice will be great. And if any of us would follow in his way, then our sacrifice must be great too.
Sacrifice? It seems he would call on us to sacrifice everything, even our lives.
And yet you called him too gentle. Now it seems you have not the strength to follow his way.
My fortune, I give of that. I do not place anything before the importance of serving God.
Yet he has asked for life. For you, not for your wealth. Now, what is your answer, Amos?
I cannot give it. I cannot give it.
Amos, come back. Oh, I'm afraid he will never come back now.
Not wise to come all this way on foot, my son.
I do not find the journey burdensome.
Is that all you can find to say to me, your own father?
Please, father, I do not wish to quarrel with you. In fact, I do not even wish to talk, if you approve.
So now you will not even talk with me.
Oh, it's not that, father. But I am thinking over and over in my mind. I hear his words. And I want to keep saying them again and again. Because I do not wish to lose them. Ever.
He impressed you so strongly.
Have you ever seen such a face? Heard such a strong yet loving voice? I never have. Nor ever will again. I know it. Somehow I know it.
My son, you know I have never really felt close to you before. Or understood you before.
But now I do.
And I wonder, is it too late for us both to understand each other? Is it?
I wish I knew, Father.
Yes, of course. It is something to see in the future. We must go on. We must return home. Jonathan.
Yes, Father?
Stand still. Stop where you are. That bell.
A leper.
Yes, my son, careful. We must not approach him or allow him to approach us either.
Yet I cannot see. He is forbidden to walk the road like all other people. Perhaps he comes through the field.
I will find out. Leper, we hear your bell of warning, yet we do not see you. Where are you? Make your presence known. The law requires it.
Do not be afraid of me. I will make no effort to come close to you. But please, wait. Wait. I must ask you something.
Careful, son. Stand where you are. We see you now.
You men travel north. Surely from where you came, you have heard of the Master?
The Master? We have seen him only 2 days ago.
Then you know where he is. You can tell me, please, please. For once I have seen him, once I have stood in his presence, I will be healed. I believe it. I know it.
He is only 2 days' journey from here.
2 days' journey. For those who can walk the roads openly and freely, it may be 2 days' journey. But for one like me who must walk the untracked fields, it is not 2 days. but 10, perhaps. Or even more. So if you know, tell me this. Where can I find the master 10 days from now? Where?
Jonathan, I had never realized before how these poor creatures live. All I have ever wanted to do was to be kept free from them and safe.
Yet when you see them, you begin to know what suffering there is in the world.
If only I had enough gold with me, I would buy him a donkey to help him in his journey. I should like to do something for the poor man.
Are you helpless without your gold, Father?
So, that is what you think of me. Well, I will show you.
Leper, I cannot tell you where the master will be 10 days from now. But I can tell you this. Wherever he will be, you will be.
Father?
Yes, Jonathan, I will go with him, leading him, helping him, seeing that he is fed. And we will find the master together.
Father, had you taken into account the risks that this may cost you your life?
I know what I am doing. Did not the master ask that a man give up his life to find it? And did you not ask me if I was helpless without my gold?
Oh, please, Father, don't let my words goad you into doing anything you will regret.
For once in my life, I will do real charity from within myself. And I will not allow gold to serve as my messenger. If I must risk my life to help this poor creature, then in God's name I will do it. There is only one thing.
Yes, Father.
You will not come with
us. But, Father,
there is nothing to be gained by you risking your life, too. I forbid you to come with us. And remember, I am your father.
It will be as you say.
Good. And now I wish to test myself. Leper, I ask you to draw close to me.
The law forbids.
And does the law forbid a clean person from coming close to a leper?
The law does not say as to that.
All right, then.
Father.
Now, my friend, come. I will take you to the master, so you may be healed. You need not sound your bell here, Elihu.
I can be stoned for failing to do that. The law says so.
Here I have seen them observe a different law. Here the well do not shrink from the sick.
Then all that I have heard of the master is true?
True indeed. Yet it is strange that I saw all this before, and it did not impress me.
It did not impress you? From the way you have acted toward me, I would have thought that you were one of the master's staunchest followers.
You would?
Oh, yes, Amos.
I thank you for those words, my friend. Come, I will take you to him. Here, my friend, is the master.
All that I had thought and dreamed he was, I can see now that he is.
Then go to him, Elihu.
Lord, what need I say? That I am a leper. The sight of me is enough. The sound of my bell is enough. I am unclean and unlike other people. But I wish to be the same as they are. I wish to walk free and unhampered like all other men. Lord, I believe that if you will it, you can make me clean.
Lord, you raise your hand to help him.
I will be thou clean.
Lord, Lord, my flesh is clean, whole again. I am healed, healed.
Amos,
there are no words to express my thanks to you.
It was the Master who healed you.
But your willingness to sacrifice made it possible.
Give your thanks to God, my friend.
Truly, you must be a good man. A man of great kindness and compassion. That you would risk your life for a stranger.
To hear such words from your lips, one could not be better paid for any sacrifice.
Father.
Jonathan, what are you doing here? I forbade you to come.
Father, you forbade me to come with you. But you did not say that I could not return here to the Master.
True, my son.
And I had to come back here. I wanted to be here to see you bring that poor man to the Master's feet. And I did. Father, I must confess now that I misjudged you. It was a fine and wonderful thing that you did. And yet, I did not think you capable of doing it. I wish to apologize to you.
I am the one who should ask your pardon, my son. For till I heard the Master, I was not capable of making such a sacrifice. Yes, the Master was right when he said that you can find your life by giving it for his sake. For through this sacrifice, I have found a great deal. I have found a part of myself that has too long been lost. And I have found the precious thing I have always wanted. The love and respect of my son. Yes, I have found my life through his way.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Okay, sorry for the technical difficulties. Good morning. It's the 20th of April, 2022. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Because of its proximity to Easter, I went ahead and played The Greatest Story Ever Told. Instead of really focusing on the betrayal and the crucifixion and the resurrection like I have in shows past, I went ahead and found a couple of shows that weren't so obvious. And that one was He That Loses His Life. That had an original broadcast of the 12th of October, 1952. So coming up next, I'm going to play another one from The Greatest Story Ever Told. If I can cue it up. I'm having some technical difficulties here. Underneath me, we're listening to Mozart's Requiem in D minor. Domine Jesu Christa. I just found it in the music library because, by golly, I forgot my usual music. I'm going to go ahead and listen to this for a second until I can get this next show queued up, which is another greatest story ever told. A man called it Nicodemus. This had an original air date of the 22nd of November, 1953. The Greatest Story Ever Told was very interesting. It aired on from the 26th of January, 1947 to the 30th of December, 1956 on ABC. It's kind of a secret show. They didn't promote any of the cast or any of, you know, the directors or any of that. You know, Warren Parker played Christ, but even that was an anonymity. Anonymity. They had a full orchestra with a 16-voice choir. I forgot my notes of who wrote based on the book. I'll see if I can find that for you at the top of the hour. Again, my name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
Master decide that.
I shall ask.
And you will have to wait here till John comes out again.
Of course, friend. You must be the one they call Simon Peter.
I am.
I've heard about you. One of the master's chosen apostles.
I am one of the 12. Tell me, what is your name?
Cyrus.
And your employer, the man who sent you?
I am sorry, I cannot tell you that.
Secrets. Always secrets. I tell you, I do not trust things that cannot be talked about openly. In fact... Wait. John is back.
Sir, the master will see you. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You will find him just inside the house.
Thank you, my friend.
What did he want, John? Why does he come in such secrecy?
That was what influenced the master. When a man is forced to hide an honest act, his conscience must be troubled indeed.
Wait. He comes out now. So soon.
I have spoken to the master. He has agreed. He will see my employer, who will be here after it has grown dark.
Who is your employer that he has to move under cover of dark?
I can tell you now. My employer is a man called Nicodemus.
Nicodemus? He's a very powerful man in Galilee.
Now you know his need for secrecy.
Why should a man so powerful as Nicodemus have to come here so stealthily after dark?
If others found out about it, he might lose his standing and eventually his power. Surely you must know the master is looked on with suspicion in some high places.
If you feel that way...
Peter, please. Sir, if the master has agreed to see Nicodemus, he will be welcome here, day or night. Thank you again, and good evening, my friend. This Nicodemus, for all his importance, must be a troubled man if he's coming to consult the master.
And to have to come secretly by night.
He is indeed troubled, if he's even afraid to show that he must have help. Yes, this Nicodemus must be a very unhappy man.
Jumped like a criminal caught in the act of stealing.
You surprised me, that's all.
It was more than surprise. I haven't been married to you for more than 20 years without being able to learn your every move and my dreams. You're hiding something from me again.
It's nothing, my dear, nothing at all.
Did I expect you to tell me? Have you ever told me?
Please, Judith, you mustn't trouble yourself about these things.
A whole lifetime of not troubling myself. What have I to show for it?
You're not going to start that again. Don't I have enough trouble as it is? Please, Judith, leave me alone. Please.
Stranger. I'm a stranger in my own household.
You know you upset me when you talk like that.
Come now. Why don't you go to your own room? All this complaining and weeping, I can't stand it. I can't.
You have fixed me to go. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, you're in here, mistress.
Yes, Naomi, and she should go to her room. She's not feeling well. Very much upset again.
Come, my dear. Come to your room. I'll go with you.
You wait here, Naomi. I wish to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Now, mistress, go, please. I'll be with you in a little while. I'll go, Naomi. I'll go. You wish to talk to me, sir?
Naomi, I've hired you to do only one thing, to take care of my wife. For that, I pay you well, don't I?
Yes, sir.
Your son has a good place to sleep and enough food. He even goes to the temple school, isn't that right?
Sir, I hope I haven't displeased you. I try to do things the way you want them done.
I don't ask you to do anything but take care of my wife. She's a sick woman. She should be made to rest. She should be kept in her room on the upper balcony. That's all I ask you to do.
That's not what the physician said.
Don't tell me what he said.
I was here when he called the last time. You were away on business. I listened to his instructions very carefully. He said to make her rest. That's true, sir. But not to keep her in her room all the time. Why, that's like making a prisoner of her.
How dare you? After all, it's for her own good, I can witness. It's not the best thing for her to mix with other people.
Sir, if only you could see the difference in her when she's among them. Yesterday, before you returned, she was down in the courtyard talking with the other women.
Which other women?
The wives of your servants, of course.
Well,
so you have my wife sit with them. I forbid it. After all, I have my pride.
You didn't. She enjoyed being with other people. Would you deny her?
You needn't be so concerned with what is denied to my wife. She may have anything her heart desires. After all, I'm one of the most powerful men in Galilee. Sit with the servants. Woman, you have made your last mistake in this household. Pack up and take your son and be out of here by morning. That's what I mean.
Sir, I don't care for myself, but my son. Where will I go with him? Where else will he be able to go to school?
You should have thought of that before you disobeyed my orders. Now go.
Looking off there toward the road, I thought you might be expecting someone to come here.
I wasn't looking toward the road.
No? And the way you were searching, I thought you expected someone to arrive at the house before nightfall.
I told you before.
Please, Father, don't excite yourself. At least not until you have good reason.
What does that mean, Jeremy?
Does it have to mean anything?
Stop trifling with words.
You needn't raise your voice to me. You don't frighten me anymore, you know.
Have I ever tried to frighten you? Haven't I tried to be a good father to you? Haven't I tried to prepare you for the position of power and influence that will one day come to you when I die? Everything I've done has been for your benefit, my son. Why do you hate me so, Jeremy?
Father, did I say I hate you?
Jeremy, what is it? Because I refused to allow you to throw your life away by marrying that Roman girl? So that I kept you from sinking to the level of servant? When you're actually heir to a great estate and a fine name, a tradition in our land. Is that why you hate me?
Did I say I hate you?
Then get that look out of your eyes.
If my eyes accuse you, perhaps they reflect your own conscience. But I have no time to talk now. I need some money. I want to be on my way to Jerusalem.
You're going to the gambling hall again?
It is the only uncertainty there is left for me anymore. I know what I will have to do in life. I know almost to the piece of silver the money I will inherit when you die. I know what my life will be like after that. Though, for the thrill of uncertainty, I must look to the gambling hall.
You're speaking nonsense. But if that's your current pleasure, I'll give you the money.
How much? 100 pieces.
You took 100 yesterday.
That's why I'm not asking for 200 now.
All right, you'll have the money.
Thank you, Father. And I might do you a little favor in return for your kindness. Rumor has it that the apple of your eye, your charming daughter Elizabeth, was seen recently in the company of a Roman officer.
It's a lie.
For this case, rumor has a proper name. Would you like to know who told me?
No, I'm not interested in cheap gossip mongers. Take your money and get out.
Thank you, Father.
And on your way, I'll send Elizabeth to you.
Yes, I know. You never say anything that surprises me. I'll send her to you.
Father, you sent for me?
I did, my child.
Well?
Is that the way you greet your father? I haven't seen you all day. Am I not entitled to a kiss?
Of course, Father.
I've seen farmers give strangers a drink of cold water with more tenderness and consideration than the way you kissed me.
Father, you wanted to talk to me. Jeremy told me.
What else did he tell you?
Nothing. I could tell from his tone of voice that it's nothing good.
Elizabeth, rumor has reached me that you have been seen in the company of a Roman officer.
Jeremy told you this?
What difference?
Curse to have him for a brother.
Elizabeth, don't ever say that again.
He's nothing but a drinking, gambling fool. Everyone laughs at him, even his women.
Elizabeth!
Father.
been a disappointment to me, too. But I don't like to be reminded of it. Sometimes I think he takes after your mother too much.
You will not say anything about my mother. I won't stand for it.
At least you're loyal to someone. You hate me, you hate your own brother.
Is this why you sent for me?
No, it's about this Roman. Is it true you've been in his company?
And if it is?
Answer my question.
Yes, it's true.
So, the daughter of one of the most influential men in this province being seen with a Roman. What will our people say about me?
I don't care what they say.
Well, I do. After all, my reputation is at stake. You're my daughter. I have a right to be concerned.
Well, Father, now that you've exercised your right, may I go?
Not until you promise me that you won't see him again.
Please, Father, I'm not a child. You don't have to talk to me
like... You are a child, my child, and I'll talk to you any way I see fit. And you will listen.
Father, please, you're hurting my aunt.
You listen to what I have to say.
Father, please.
I'm sorry, my dear. I didn't mean to make you cry. Will you forgive me?
Tell me, Father. Did the person who told you this tell you that this Roman officer is an elderly man? That he's a scribe for a general? That he's merely lending me some parchments he owns so I can study Latin and Greek? Father, is that a crime?
So that's all that's involved?
Yes, that's all.
Then you should have told me.
You judged the situation even before I had a chance to tell you. You didn't trust me. You didn't ask me. You merely assumed that I was doing something wrong.
I'm sorry. Here, let me wipe your tears.
There's no need. May I go?
Yes, Elizabeth. Tell me at once. What did the master say? Will he see me?
Yes, sir. He'll see you.
And at night, as I requested?
As you requested. No one will know about it except two of his disciples whom I had to see before I could talk to the master himself.
Good. Now, Cyrus, have my litter made ready and select four men I can trust to carry me to the master at once.
Please, sir, if I may suggest, when you have seen him, as I have, somehow you know that one doesn't approach him in a litter carried by servants, but humbly. And on foot, as even the least of those who seek him.
If you think it best, Cyrus.
Would I say it if I didn't think it best for you, sir?
Of course not, Cyrus. You know, sometimes I think you're the only friend I have in the world. And then only because you were my father's friend and servant.
Please, sir.
I can't talk to you. I can talk to no one, sir.
Yes.
It's strange. I look from this balcony and see only my own land. I can count my sheep and cattle in the thousands. I have so much. But there's something missing. In trade and commerce, I'm known as a hard man, but fair. Yet I have no friends. I give my family this great house and all the luxuries in it. But do they make it a home? Now, it's a cold and friendless place. My son and daughter do not love me. My wife, she does not understand me. No one seems to care. No one. Cyrus, do I deserve such loneliness?
Please, sir, I
must talk to someone. That's why I asked you to arrange for me to see the master. They say he performs miracles to bring me a little happiness. That would be a miracle. To make me a man loved as other men are would be a greater miracle. Come, Cyrus, I will go seeking the master. I will ask his help. let me in quickly.
So you are the man.
Please, Peter.
I wanted to see who it was who had to come here secretly by night. Come in, the master is ready to see you.
Is he ready to answer my question?
You will find him ready. In here.
So he is the master. He is waiting for you to speak.
Yes.
Master, I have come to you because I believe that you are a teacher of God. No man can do the miracles you do unless God were with him. So I've come to ask you if this new life, this peace and happiness you promise, is open to anyone. May I share it? Or is my life destined to be cold and friendless? Master, what need I do to partake of your way of life?
Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Master, you seek to ridicule me with your answer? How can a man be born again when he's old?
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
So you have not spoken since you left the master's presence.
I had such faith in him because of what I'd heard of his teacher. Cyrus, even you felt it when you first spoke to him.
But what he said...
Sir, what did he say?
It's impossible. How can a man be born again?
He said to be born again.
Yes, to see the kingdom of God, a man must be born again.
Sometimes they say he speaks in examples, in parables, which in the end makes things more clear. You shouldn't be disturbed if his words are not clear at first.
Others go to the master when they're sick and he cures them. He makes the blind to see and the lame to walk. But me, all I asked was a question. He gave me such a strange answer, I think inwardly he must have been laughing at me.
Oh, sir, please.
No, you're right, Cyrus. He's not one to laugh at any man in trouble. I could tell that much from just looking at him.
Sir, will you go into the front entrance through the garden?
Oh, we're back at the house so soon. No, I'll go around the back. It would create a stir to go in the front way at this hour.
Then I will leave you here and go back to my own home. Good night, sir, and don't give up. Think about what the master said. It will become clear to you. I am sure of it.
Cyrus... you hear something?
David, don't cry. But, Mother, to leave in the middle of the night. Was it me? Did I do something that made Nicodemus angry?
No, David, it wasn't you.
Cyrus, please leave me.
Yes, sir.
Then why are we going?
Please, David, pick up your bundle and we'll start out.
And did you do something wrong, Mother?
It wasn't wrong. I'd do it again. He's a tyrant, that's what he is. Now, come, David, we must go and we must not be afraid.
I'm not afraid, Mother. Except of Nicodemus, everybody is. When I see him, I run and hide.
Wait, please.
Who is it? Mother, it's Nicodemus.
You don't have to spy on us, sir. And if you want to search our bundles, you may. We've taken nothing that doesn't belong to us.
Naomi, I'm not accusing you. Only there's something I have to ask.
Yes?
May I ask the boy? May I, please?
If you wish. Mother, do I have to?
Son, I heard you say you're afraid of me. You always run away from me. Why?
Mother.
So you can't tell me. You're afraid of me, and I've never harmed you. And yet now, when you're leaving the only home you have in the middle of the night, when you have good reason to fear, you say you're not afraid. I can't understand it. Why?
me why, boy.
I have my mother. As long as I do, I don't have to be afraid. She loves me, and I love her, too. So why should I be afraid?
Everything I own. I'd give everything I own if my son had said that to me just once in his life.
Perhaps one must earn such words.
Haven't I? I've devoted my life to building up a great name, great power and wealth, all for him.
Yet he does not love you. Perhaps, sir, because silver is hard, earth is cold. No amount of either is ever enough to replace warmth and love.
You think I'm incapable of such feelings? Well, I'll show you that you're wrong.
I'm afraid it's too late for that now.
But it isn't. For I can begin now to show you. You don't have to leave here. Stay. Please.
I can't have the boy frightened all the time.
Is it the boy only? David, listen to me. You don't have to be frightened of me. Not now. I'll be a different man. You'll see. And I'd feel so much better having you around the house. After all, if a man wants to do good, shouldn't he have the chance? Shouldn't he, David?
Mother really wants us so much.
Oh, I do. I do.
Mother? All right, then. We'll stay.
Thank you. You just saved me from doing something I'd always have regretted. Sending you and your son out into the world without a place to live, without any security. A wrong like that could weigh on a man's mind forever.
Sir, you could right another wrong you've done if you wanted to.
What do you mean?
Your daughter Elizabeth. I don't know what you've done to her, but she needs someone now.
Elizabeth? Yes, of course, I must go to her at once.
To make me promise I won't see that Roman officer again. I can tell you now, you can't force me.
No, my dear. Do the thing you think best. The thing that makes you happiest.
Father, if this is one of your ways to make me feel better for the time being...
I can see why they wouldn't believe me. Even my own daughter doesn't believe it. I can be understanding, sympathetic.
Who wouldn't believe?
Naomi, the little boy David.
You spoke to them before they left?
I spoke to them and asked them to stay, and they've agreed.
I'm glad you did, Father. It was a good thing to do. I'm proud of
you. You know, that's the first truly kind thing you said to me in years.
Father, it's been so long since I've had the chance to say a kind thing. But somehow, now, this way, you're different. Changed. I can see it. What's happened?
What you see is a man discovering that happiness comes from kindness to others. This first taste of happiness has convinced me that I have a great deal more changing to do. Your brother Jeremy, I've done him a great wrong. And your mother, and there's a long, long list of people and things I must reconsider. There's a great deal more changing I'll have to do. Truly, I will have to be a different man, a new man, a man reborn. Reborn.
Father, what is it?
The word came to me sudden. Yes, of course, it's become clear to me. The master said it. I must be born again. In the flesh, of course, that would be impossible, but in the spirit... That's what he meant. A man must be reborn in spirit, must change, must give himself over to love and mercy and kindness.
If this could only happen, it would mean so much to me and to Jeremy and to Mother.
It can happen, and it will happen. Now that I understand, I will go back to him. I will hear his teaching.